Glory to God. Back to the Old Testament today in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 20. Just a little review here for those of you if you haven't read or studied much in the book of Deuteronomy lately. The book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses to the second generation, to the next generation. Actually, the generation who, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, now they're just about ready to enter into the promised land. And so much of the book of Deuteronomy is a repeat. It is giving instructions about the promised land, what to do, how to move forward into the promised land. You remember that Caleb and Joshua are the only two from the previous generation that are going to be able to go in with them, because they came back as part of those spies. 10 of them, the Bible says, brought back an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, oh, well, we're well able. We can do this. We can go up against these walled cities. We can go up against these giants. Their message was a message of faith. But everyone else caved in. And so they turned and went back into the wilderness. And for the next 40 years, they are spending those years wandering around in the wilderness because of their unbelief. So now, 40 years later, the younger generation, this generation that for the most part has grown up in this wilderness wandering experience, now here they are camped at the border getting ready to go into the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy is words from Moses instructing them about all the different possibilities that they might face, and the blessings of the Lord, and the provision of the Lord, and what you're going to face, and how to prepare for that. So it's really a repeat to the of what was given to the previous generation, but now this generation is hearing these instructions concerning living in the promised land, going in and taking the possession that has been promised. It is the promised land, and it is theirs to possess, theirs to enter into, and they were going to have to be a generation unlike their forefathers, but they were going to have to be a generation of faith-filled people who believed the promise of God and that they were going to go in and possess it. Deuteronomy 20 is where we're reading a few verses here. Deuteronomy 20, and this is instructions to them about warfare and battle. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Praise God. Wonderful promises that were given by Moses to the children of Israel. Second generation now getting ready to go in and to take the land that had been promised to them. Several things that are established here in this text. First of all, he says, when you go to battle. And he was just simply saying, if you're going to go in and possess this land, if you're going to go in and take hold of these different areas, these mountains, these cities, these walled cities, if you're going to go in and do it, you are going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight. The Christian experience includes spiritual battles. And you can just accept the fact that you, as a Christian, as a believer, you're going to have times in your life when you are going to face the adversary, the devil. He wants to oppose anything good that God has provided for you. Every promise in God's word that belongs to you and it's to you as a believer, the enemy is the opposer. He's the adversary. He wants to steal it. He wants to stop it. He wants to hinder anything that God wants to do in your life. As a matter of fact, I've experienced this and I've witnessed this. As people decide, I'm going to get closer to God, I'm going to pursue the things of God with all of my heart, the enemy also rises up even at a greater attempt to try to stop you from making that spiritual progress. So we need to all recognize and just be reminded of the fact, don't be surprised when the enemy attacks you, because that is what happens to Christians who are pursuing the things of God. Amen. You're going to face the battle. You're going to face the attacks of the enemy in your life. Just as those that inhabited the promised land, all the Hittites and the Amalekites and the Jebusites and all the otherites that inhabited all of the promised land, they did not want to be moved out. They did not want to be pushed out. And so they were willing to fight. And I'm telling you, whenever you begin to make a move toward the things of God, you try to really dedicate and commit yourself to the Lord. The enemy doesn't want to be removed. He doesn't want to be pushed out. And so you're in for a fight. So every city, every mountain, all the areas of the promised land had to be fought for. And if you're going to move forward into revival, if you're going to experience more of the blessing and the good things that God has promised to you, you can expect a fight. You can expect a fight. Amen. The enemy opposes the people of God. He opposes the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is of God and every promise of God, he opposes it. As we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, the end of this age, and I think we all recognize we are living in the end of the end. We are closer and closer to the end of this age, and we feel the intensity of the battle. Just remember that God has promised, yes, you're going to fight battles, but what did Moses say to them? When you go out to battle against your enemies and you see the horses and the chariots and a people more than you. He's saying you're gonna have to recognize that in this battle, you cannot win it in your own strength. When you see the horses and you see the chariots and you see a people and it's greater than you, it's too big for you. You are not enough for it. You cannot face the challenges of this battle. You're no match for the enemy. In your own strength, you are going to lose. You're going to fail. If you try to fight the enemy in your own strength and your own ability, you're going to fail. You cannot put strength in your own power. Amen. You got to put your strength in the Lord. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, there's dark clouds of trouble and problems, all kinds of things in every area of our life. When you look at the economy, it just seems like it's tottering. When you look at politics, you don't even know what to put your trust in or who that you can trust. You can't look at any of the things of this world and draw any strength or any help. Everything of this world is passing away. Everything of this world is too big for you to deal with. You need God in your life. Moses said, you're going to see all these big formidable forces, these chariots, these horses, and a people that's too great for you. But what does he say? Don't be afraid. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord, thy God is with thee. Praise God for that. No matter what it is we experience or what we're up against in these challenging days, and we look at them all and we understand that God is with us. He is with us. He has not forsaken us. He is with us. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Amen. Praise God. One of the things that characterize the last days according to God's word, and that is that men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Everything is being shaken today. And if you look at all these things that are coming upon the earth, all of these problems and even plagues and everything that's happening all over our world, if you focus your attention on them, let me tell you, fear is going to grip your heart and you're going to be overwhelmed by fear. But this is a command in God's word. Moses said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to be with you no matter what it is. Amen. So these are dangerous days, certainly. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't move with caution in certain situations. Use wisdom in certain... Yes, absolutely. But to be dominated by a spirit of fear, that's a tactic of Satan in these last days to rob us of the wonderful promises of God and the victory that God has for us and the revival that he wants to send to your life and to your family and to our church. Amen. We cannot be dominated by this spirit of fear. He said, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Amen. Then he says, verse 2, when it shall be, when you come nigh into the battle, just before you go into the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Isn't that interesting? This is Moses giving them instruction to let them to understand the spiritual nature of the battle. You're up against a force too big for you. You cannot win this battle. You're going to have God. The priest would stand up and would speak to them. And that we all should understand that we are in a battle, but that battle is a battle in the spirit. And if we are not spiritual people, filled with the spirit, and willing to face the challenges in the power of the spirit, we are going to lose the battle. The priest stood up and would speak to them just before they would go into the battle. Here's what he would say. Hear, O Israel, verse 3. Ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. I mean, you can see what the problem was. They were up against a big enemy, and he keeps reminding them, you can't let fear control you. Don't be terrified. Don't be under the control of this spirit. Don't tremble. Don't be afraid. For the Lord, verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, the priest stood up to speak to let them know the spiritual nature of the battle. We need to understand that every battle we face, it may feel like that it's something on the surface. It may be feel like that it's something physical or something that you're dealing with in the realm of just the everyday, our everyday life. But you're a saint of God, a child of God, and everything has spiritual connections, spiritual consequences, spiritual significance. And so this battle is a spiritual battle. Praise God. Hallelujah. He spoke to them and said, your God is going to go with you. You're not going to go alone in this. He's going to fight your battle for you. He's going to fight your enemies for you. We need to be reminded of that today. We're fighting a lot of battles. You're in a battle today. Some of you are up against some things that are overwhelming to you. You don't know what to do, how to respond to it. Just remember what the Bible says. For we walk in the flesh. This is 2 Corinthians 10:3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. We're in the flesh. We have struggles that seem to be in the flesh. But as believers, we understand that behind it all is a diabolical plan to destroy you, to destroy me, to destroy the work of God, to destroy your family, and everything that God has blessed you with. The enemy wants to destroy that in your life. We do not walk in the, even though we do walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds or fortresses, things that have raised up that just are strong and they cannot be moved. It's an overwhelming thing that's before you. Mighty God, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes, you're going to have battles. Yes, the enemy is too great for you in your own strength. But the warning is, don't allow fear to grip your heart. Don't be overwhelmed by fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. He was telling them this before they would go in to conquer the promised land. Yeah. I want you to look down now at verse number 8 in our text here. Skip down to verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. This shows you the infectious nature of fear and unbelief. Right. And what happens when you are... Basically, what he said was, listen, if for somebody in the ranks of your army and they're overwhelmed with fear, just pack their bags and send them home. Get them out of the ranks of the fighters. Because if they stay there, their fear is going to affect the next one beside them and the next one beside them. And before long, the whole army. That's what had happened to them 40 years before. That even though Caleb and Joshua had said, we're well able to go into the promised land. We're well able to go up against these giants and these walled cities. But 10 of the witnesses had an evil report. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They were weak and full of fear and unbelief. And it was like and it says, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so were we. And it was infectious. It went through the entire ranks, and it caused that whole generation to be lost in the wilderness and to not be able to go into the promised land. Amen. Fear is not of God. We talked about this Sunday night, and I know we're back on it again here this morning. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Understand the effect, the infectious nature of fear. And he basically just said, separate yourself from anyone that's full of fear, because it will affect the whole army. Everybody, be careful, folks, of the voices that you are listening to. Amen. Be careful of the voices that you're listening to. A lot of them are spewing fear and hopelessness and faithlessness, and it'll affect your spirit. Don't feed on unbelief. Don't allow your spirit to be affected by that. That spirit of fear that's in our world today. Instead, live by faith. Walk by faith. Preach faith. Let that be your conversation. If you don't have faith, then just quote the word of God. Let it get in your life. And don't be controlled by fear. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you. You can make a big difference in the people around you. You can influence those that are around you. The whole church can be affected by you. I've been talking about this in the last service or two about the importance and the power of our words and what we say and what we do, our actions, and how that they are powerful and they are influential. The power of life and death are in the power of the tongue, and that it is a powerful thing, the power of influence, especially when in the realm of the spirit. I don't know if I've told you about my elementary education career or not. In the second grade was the worst year of all my years of schooling. And I had a teacher, her name was Mrs. Stafford, and she was scary. And she was mean. And everyone in the class was petrified of her, including me. I mean, I was scared to death of her, and we all were. I was just a little bitty, innocent little second grader, but I was scared to death of her. But one day, my buddies next to me, I don't know where he got this, but he had a big ball of tar. I don't know where he got it, but he shared some of it with me. And we decided to write all over the top of our desk. I don't know what got into us, but we destroyed the top of our desk with this tar. And when Mrs. Stafford saw it toward the end of the day, she went into a rage. And I knew I was dead. And so I went home, and she had told me and the other boy before we went home, when you get back to school, you're going to get it. This is all true now. I'm not making any of this up. I went home and I was sick, physically sick. I mean, I felt terrible. And I went to bed feeling awful, scared to death, facing the next day, the next morning. I got up sick. My mom, who was very wise, knew I wasn't physically sick. She knew something was going on because I didn't want to go to school. And so she calls the school and finds out what's going on, and she gets me up and gets me dressed and says, "You're going to school today." I have to go and face the consequences, and it was a horrible day. That year was an awful year for me because I don't know if I learned anything. All I know is the atmosphere of that classroom was nothing but everybody was afraid of the teacher. But then I had something wonderful happen. I went to the third grade. And her name was Mrs. Smith, and she was quiet spoken and sweet and nice. And she talked to us with kindness, and she changed the atmosphere of that classroom so powerfully that I would have tore that whole classroom up to please her. I would have done anything to please her because of her spirit and the atmosphere of the room. Now, I went through all that just to say, it's quite possible to create an atmosphere of fear and unbelief, and even in the church, even in your family, where you live under the cloud of fear, and that is not the will of God. It's not the will of God. Fear is contagious. And we've witnessed that over these last months. How people can just get so overwhelmed with the circumstances, and it literally stops you from progress and from being what God has called us to be. So he told them, if there's one in your ranks that's full of fear and unbelief, and they're trembling, and they just pack them up and send them home, because they will affect everybody else. It's true. Another thing is that fear makes you vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. It's kind of the irony of it, isn't it? You're the one that's so afraid, and you're the one that gets caught by the enemy. You're the one. The vulnerable get caught. In Deuteronomy 25 and verse 17, Moses said, "Do you remember when Amalek, what they did to you? How that they came for when you came out of Egypt," verse 18, Deuteronomy 25, "how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee,
when they were faint and weary and feared not God.
You probably have seen these YouTube videos of these lions chasing after a herd of buffaloes or deer. And they'll chase after them. And I mean, the strong ones get away. But the young ones and the older ones and the sickly ones, they become the prey. They're the ones that are attacked. And that's what God said. That's what the Amalekites did. They came up from behind you and they caught those that were full of fear, those that were feeble, those that were faint, those that were weary, and caught them from behind, and they were destroyed. And God said, I'm not going to forget what the Amalekites did. I'm not going to forget it. I'm just going through all this today to remind you of the importance of not succumbing to fear. Don't faint in the day of adversity. Don't faint. Another account is in 1 Samuel, and I'll quit here in just a moment here. Oh, I still got plenty of time. 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men, 600 men, had come back from battle. They're exhausted. And as soon as they come over the hill, they see the smoke of the city of Ziklag. The city is burned. Their families have all been kidnapped and stolen away. And when they come into that city, they're physically worn out. And now, after returning from this, you know, great battle, they're at home. All their expectations of being at home and all the comforts and of home, it's all gone. Their children and their families are all kidnapped and gone. The Bible says they wept until they had no more power to weep. They were physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, grieving over their families, over their losses. And now David's own men are turning against him, talking about stoning him to death. You talk about a bad day. David is faced with a terrible situation. Loss of his family, loss of his home, and now his own men are turning against him. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Now, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. When you've got problems from every side, and you've got all of these things, and you're overwhelmed, and all of your friends are overwhelmed, and it's just, you're physically worn, you're emotionally worn, you have nothing left, and now you have to make this decision. I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to turn to God in the middle of all of this. And that's what he did. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then he inquired of the priest. What do I do? Do I pursue after the Amalekites? Do I go after them? Do we go? And the answer from the priest was, go, yes, go, pursue. And you will recover all. You'll recover all. So David and his 600 men, David leads them. If you can imagine all that they have dealt with. And they go out to chase after the Amalekites to get their families back. And the Bible says they come to a brook by the name of Bizar. The brook Bizar. 200 of the 600 men are so faint and so weary that they say, we can't go any further. We can't go any further. And they stopped right there on the banks of the brook Bizar. But the Bible says that David and the other men, which had been 400 of his men, somehow they got up the courage. I don't know how they got the inner confidence and strength. Maybe it was because the Lord had said to them, you're going to recover all. I don't know, but somehow when they had no strength and they were weary and they were faint, they were just as tired as the other 200. Just as faint, just as weary. 200 gave up, but the other 400 began to move into the water, cross over the brook Bizar to the other side. Interesting enough that the word Bizar means in the Hebrew refreshment. Praise God. Refreshment. So they pressed on. They pressed on. You know the rest of the story. They recovered all. And a great bounty. And all just
God provided for them and blessed them because they pursued and God gave to them what he promised that he would give to them. Now, I just want to encourage you today.
I want to encourage you not to give up. If you feel weary, you feel faint, and you feel discouraged, and you're down, I want you to know that the promise of God is that, yes, you're going to have battles. You're going to have battles, and the battles are going to be too big for you, but the Lord has promised you don't have to face this alone. I'm going to go with you. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't tremble. Don't worry. Just press on. Just keep pressing on. Just keep moving on. I think what a lot of folks need to do is they need to go through the brook of refreshment and just get strengthened and refreshed in the presence of the Lord and allow the Lord to strengthen you and to help you in the midst of the struggles of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't fade in the day of adversity. We're in a day like that when it would be easy to cave in. But God's calling us to press on. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of God. And Lord, that even though we fight a lot of spiritual battles, we know, Lord, that you have gone before us and you've promised to fight our battles for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. We don't have to be afraid. We do not have to be defeated. We don't have to be full of fear or to tremble or to be terrified by the times that we're living in. But Lord, you've called us to move forward. Move forward. Move forward by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I